Hey, so roller skating on Thursday. I was telling somebody, you know, I like ice skating better. I do. But I'm going to come roller skating. I may not roller skate, but I'm going to go hang out. So, you know, come and hang out. Besides, you know, you can record everything ahead of time, after time, whatever, but hangout time is really precious and valuable. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, you are a good, good God. And I thank you, Lord, you sent your son Jesus to open the doors that we can come into your presence through your son Jesus. And today we come into your presence, Lord, and we have just with joy loved you in our worship time. And now, Lord, I thank you that you just continue just to open eyes and hearts and ears to hear the great plan and the great hope and a future that we have while our feet are still planted before we go home to be with Jesus, because there's a lot to be done. So I thank you, Father, for the word today. I thank you, Father, that it produces big fruit in everybody's life, and everybody said in faith, amen. Amen. So loud. All right. So we're going to start a new series. So I have to tell everybody, you know, it's proven statistically that I'm a right-handed person, so I always talk this way. Y'all, I almost want you to go over here, but I'll try to do this. All right? So I'm going to do the around. But listen to this. I'm going to start a series on money. Woohoo! So exciting! Everybody go, wow, she's going to talk about money. All right? I am. And listen, the Bible talks a lot about money. It talks about having money. Everybody say, I love having money. If you don't want your money, up here, okay? Or down in the office or whatever, but I'll take it, okay? But I love money, but God wants you to have money and do it the right way. Everybody say the right way. Say money the right way. Amen. So it is important, amen? Now, so I'm going to ask a bunch of questions today. Here we go. How many of you have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? Raise your hand. Good. Some of you, I probably led you to the Lord as a little kid down in children's ministry. Yay. All right. So now, the day you received Jesus into your life, now don't get spiritual on me, but did it fix everything in your life? No, it didn't, okay? But the day, the moment that you receive Jesus, you ask him to come into your life. He's knocking, you say yes, come into your life. Okay, that's like the entry door. Boom, the door opened, and now you can come into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, all righty? So the thing about the kingdom of God, it is a lot different than the kingdom you all came out of. The kingdom of God is a lot different than the kingdom I came out of, too, all right? Now that you've received Jesus as your Savior, there's more steps. There's more steps. So I have received him as my Savior, but then there's this thing called making Jesus Lord of your life. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. All right, so what's the difference? Jesus Savior, Jesus Lord. Well, there's a big difference. Now, so number one, when you ask Jesus to come into your life and you accept him as Savior, you know that he has forgiven you of all your sins. Amen? And you know that heaven's your final destination. You have access to heaven. So that's when you say, Jesus is my Savior. Everybody say, Jesus is my Savior. All right, it's so quiet, I'm going to make you say things today. This is just like weird quiet in here. Gosh, jeez. All right, now, what does it mean to be Jesus is Lord? It's when I say, I am not going to live this life my own way anymore or my own desires anymore. Jesus, you're going to be my master. You're going to be my Lord, all right? So here's your question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or is he just Savior? Hey, going to heaven, sins are forgiven, I can do whatever I want. All right, so I don't know about you, but I want more than that. So Savior and Lord. Now, put your seatbelts on, put a fake smile, because I'm going to say something. If you're a person who has received Jesus as Savior, and you are saying that he is now your Lord, guess what? He is also Lord of your money. Okay, got one, that's right, all right, it's Lord, okay, some of you are going, baby, that's not happening with me, all right, but here's the thing, your money, you earned it, you worked for it, that's all good stuff, Amen? It's good. Keep working, all right? But there's a different way of doing money in the kingdom of God than the kingdom you came out of, all right? So we're going to talk about that. And money's a big deal. Money is a big deal. And I've had none of you ever said this, okay? It's everybody that stayed home. But people have said, you know, Pastor D, you're just good. Go ahead. You can talk about anything you want. I love it when you get up and you preach. But Pastor D, don't you dare talk about money. And don't you talk about my kids and how I should raise my kids. And don't go on this tithe thing because, you know, we're just going to slap you. But you can talk about everything else. Okay? But don't talk about money. Well, here's the thing. God's word, this Bible that you read every day, has a lot to say about money. Lots to say about money. Matter of fact, it's got more scriptures concerning money, finances, how to make money, how to handle your money. It's got, everybody go, money, 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 money. If you don't know that song, you're a baby. Okay, I thought that should have been our background. But listen to this. The Bible actually has more things to say about money than love and faith and prayer. Than all three of those together, it still has more to say about money. And yet some people are like, oh, don't talk about politics in church and don't talk about money in church. Well, we're going to talk about money in church, okay? So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you know, so I got to thinking, everybody, let's be a two-year-old. Well, why? Why? I love two-year-olds. Why? Why do I have to do this? Well, why does God talk a lot about money? Because the place y'all came out of, the life you came out of, we're going to have to renew our minds to the way God thinks about money and how we handle it in a godly manner. So that's why God's got all this stuff about money. Amen. So you go do some Googling. Google how many times is money in there. Pastor D said it's more than this, this, and this. Or finances or something like that. You go do some homework here. So here's my question, though. Does God get mad that you have money? Does God get mad that you have money? Shake your head and say, no, don't go that way. Go on, go this way, Mike. Okay. No. Does God get mad that you have money and other people that don't? No, he does not get mad. As a matter of fact, he wants you to earn money so you can be a blessing to others. Amen, amen. So we're going to talk about money, and we're going to talk about God principles on doing it in the God's way and how we handle it and how we bless others, because God wants us to do it really good. So the series is really about money. Money, 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 or mammon. And I'm going to give the definition for that in a little bit, okay? But first, I just want to pop some holy cows, knock them over, about, I would call, myths about money. And really, depending on where you've come from, or even a church that you've come out of, you might have heard some hum-dilly, ridiculous teachings about money. I know I did way back when. So here's one of them. You're a Christian, and you should sell everything you have. You should give everything you have, and you should just give it away. You shouldn't be owning nothing. All right, that's an extreme. Here's another one. Hey, if you give money to church or to so-and-so, then tomorrow in the mail, you're going to have $1 million. I'm sorry to say I've heard that. All right, those are just goofy extremes, okay? And have you ever heard of, definitely not here, a preacher that gets up and they just start twisting you? Better yet, they just start slapping you and slapping you. You need to give, you need to give. And they just work you over for a whole hour on why you need to give. By the way, we have never done that. No, we're lucky you get Michael Cashman for 3 minutes just preaching up some good stuff. I was like, yes, you set the stage, okay? So we don't do that. And the reason why we don't twist your arm or that you need to give and beat you up and stuff is that I believe if you have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you, that he can speak to you. And you can read your Bible, okay? And you'll know we don't have to twist your arm, all righty? So there are some really goofy extremes about money, and I've don't even want to touch on some of them. But here's the thing: what does you know what you should be doing is going, what does God have to say about money? What does your Bible have to say about money? What is the Word of God to say about money? Okay, and what does it say about doing using your money in a right way? All right, so open up your Bibles and turn to Matthew 6, verse 24. This is red letter if you got one of those Bibles. That means I didn't write this. Your Nana didn't write this. Jesus spoke this and is written. So this is Jesus. Matthew 6:24. Jesus makes this statement and he says, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Now, we live in a country and we know that there was slavery and we know it was wrong. But did you know when this was written? When Jesus was walking on the earth here, when this is written, 30 to 40% of the population were slaves. Wasn't good then, it wasn't good now. But 30 and 40% of the population were slaves. So Jesus is thinking, y'all gonna get this, because you know this, right? So he's writing to a population that understood what this says. Nobody can serve two masters. Now, slaves back in that day, they only had one master. All right, they didn't have two or three or four. They had one master. Again, that's why Jesus was writing this, because they would get this. They would get what he's talking about, okay? So that's back then. But how about we bring it into today? Kingdom principles today, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but before I received Jesus, I was not serving Jesus. I tried some good stuff, but I was not serving Jesus. I was doing some things. I was serving a whole bunch of other things and people and places, okay? And yet Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. And this is the part I want to get to. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, right there, this is the first time Jesus introduces a new word. Okay, a new word. We used to play Scrabble with Dad, and he'd come up with these words, and I'm like, you just made that up. And then, you know, he had some funny ones. But this is Jesus made up or came up with a new word, and it's called mammon. It's only listed, for all you Bible trivia that wants to know, it's only listed four times in the New Testament where Jesus says this word. So what does mammon mean? The real simplest, lowest definition for mammon is it means money. Money. Mammon means money, all right? So, and Jesus says, so you cannot serve God and money. You can't serve God and money. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Ready? Money is a horrible master. Money is a horrible master. And you might be thinking, ah, Pastor D, money's not my master. What are you kidding me? Listen, if you are a work, make money, you, guess what your master is? Money, work, all right? You're a workaholic. So the Bible even just slaps you one more time and it says, then that money and that work to make money has now become an idol. And that's not a good thing, in case you didn't know that. Okay? Now, I am not saying don't work. I am not saying don't work and get paid by the government and you shouldn't be working and they should pay for everything you do. I'm not saying that. Okay? I'm not saying that. But listen, Jesus was really, really nailing it. He said in scriptures, and he's got even more scriptures about money and work and stuff. And you know what he says? If you don't work, how many mamas used to say that to you? If you don't work, you don't eat. I'll tell you what, you get somebody hungry, they'll work. Okay, so the Bible talks about some of this stuff, all righty? So, and then let me tell you some other things the Bible talks about here. Well, how do I say this? I'm sorry. How about this one? Hey, oh, you want that? You want that big TV screen, you know, the one that's 80 inches? Just go buy it. You don't have to pay for it today. How many have commercials? Buy. You don't have to pay today. But here's the thing. Later, you will pay. Later, you will pay. And here's the crazy thing. Later, you will pay more, because you're paying later. You're going to pay more than what it was originally worth, all right? Okay. By the way, you should tell our government that. Just sort of, you know, here's another one I was just thinking about. If you work for the government or if you know somebody in the government, why don't you just tell them, hey, you know, you can't be making money and making money and making money like it's Monopoly. Printing money, thank you. Printing money. Because it's not a God thing. It's not working, all right? Okay, enough of that. So all of us in our finances, you know, we have to know how to do it God's way, or we're going to do it the mammon way, the world's way, okay? And that is why we teach around here about money. Matter of fact, I'm going to share more of a bit next week, but, you know, I thought about this. It's the 10-10-80. And 10-10-80, how many of you have heard of Dave Ramsey? Wow, excellent. He really, that's where I got it from, all right? But, and listen, we are starting grow groups in January and February. This would be a good group to have at your house. I'll give you the DVDs, you pop them in, and you can learn about God's way of doing money. And Dave Ramsey is just excellent, okay? But real quick, 10-10-80 means 10% belongs to the Lord. 10% I return unto the Lord. The other 10%, and this one I didn't learn for long time. And then the other 10% you should put in savings. Everybody say savings. Now my kids do better at this, but Jack and I weren't so good at this, all right? And then the 80% you get to live off of. 80%, isn't that amazing? So say 10-10-80, all right? Now, when we finally started doing the 10-10 and then the 80, I was thinking, this is impossible. This is hard. But years later, it's like, okay, I'm doing it. I don't even think twice about it now. And listen, I'm telling you, everybody in this room, you can do this. You can do this. And for all my bunch over here that are a little younger than I am, you know what? It would be nice to learn this now. Instead of, I was quite a bit older till I did this the right way. So 10% belongs to the Lord, 10% you save, and 80% you get to do. Okay, so here's the other thing. Is God against you working? No, God wants you to work. He wants you to make money, but he wants you to do it in a God way. He wants you to do it in a God way, all right? So let's go on and let's give a couple more definitions for mammon. So we said mammon means money. That's one of its definitions, or treasure. The other one is this, wealth personified or greedy pursuit of gain, all right? Now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus and you have a job, or you own a business, okay? Is God upset with you because you have a job and you've got a business and you're working? No, he wants you to. But there's this thing, it's the heart. You were touching on, it's the heart, it's the greed. It's the greedy part for the gain, okay? That part, okay? Here's the other definition for mammon. Money where it is trusted in. Money is where it's trusted in. Okay. So I started opening my wallet when I was preparing for this. On the back of the $1 bill, the $5 bill, and the $20 bill, it says, "In God we trust." So I'm not trusting in money. I'm even going to follow the directions. In God we trust. Hannah, you're on the front row. You can have 20. Here you go. If I had a 50, I'd give it to you. Okay. All right. So how about we do "In God we trust"? Alrighty, and then the other part of that a definition is money is where it is held in opposition to God. In other words, this money is so vital, and God, you're at the bottom of the pile, okay? And you're not there. This is money. It's just, I'm after it, alrighty? So, I just want to encourage you, this is Jesus, and he's talking on, we're just going to hit this some more. He's talking about your heart towards money. That's all it is. He wants you to, and he talks a lot about it, but it's your heart towards money. As a matter of fact, in all the parables that Jesus spoke in the Gospels, all right, he talks more about your attitude towards money, what you do with it, and how you handle it. He talks more than anything else in his parables. He talks about your attitude. Attitude. How many of you dealt with a kid with attitude? Woo! Wait till they're teenagers. Jeez Louise, okay? But so Jesus is talking about attitudes, all right? Attitudes of your heart towards money, all right? Some of you are probably thinking, oh, Lord, I think I'm going to have to pray if I'm coming to church the next couple weeks and Pastor D is going to talk about this stuff. I don't know. Well, listen, my job as Pastor D is to help you to understand what God wants, how you to see money and how to handle money, okay? Amen? Praise God. All righty. So, jump down, we're in Matthew chapter 6, jump down to verse 33, Matthew 6:33. Most of you know this scripture, and therefore I dug out a new translation. You know, sometimes you just go, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whoever's married, blah, blah, blah. And you just say it over and over so fast, and it doesn't click. So sometimes I'll dig out a new translation. So I'm going to read this out of, it's called the New Testament for Everyone. New Testament for Everyone. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says this, instead, make your top priority God's kingdom. How many of you think it might be important to have God as your top priority? Yeah, because I can tell you living a lot of life not without Jesus as my top priority, okay? So he says, make God your top priority, okay? And you know, sometimes we'll say, hey, coming to church, that's making God your top priority, because the Bible says you should, okay? So we'll say that. But how many of you know you can come to church? Check. I made that my top priority. But the rest of the week, whew, not so good, okay? So there's more to it. So, we have to have him as top priority in all areas of our life, okay? And actually, we need to have him as Lord in every area of our life. So let's keep reading. Instead, make your top priority God's kingdom and his way of life, and all these things will be given to you as well or added to you. All right. So basically, he's saying, hey, listen, just stop, look at your life and say, Lord, I'm gonna let you be Lord, and you will be first. I'm going to seek you first. I'm not going to seek this job. I'm not going to seek this money. I'm going to seek you first. And I just know everything else will just land where it's supposed to land. How many of you have had God seek, you're seeking him, he's first in your life, and you know, you turn around and just like all these little puzzle pieces got in the right place. He does that. He loves to do that, all right? Now, I want to say this. I run into people, not you, that are mad at people who God has blessed because they're seeking God. Like, I'm just mad at that person. They're just seeking God, and look at all. How come they have this, and how come this is going on in their life? Well, maybe you should be going, what are they doing that I'm not doing? What's their heart like? Because, you know, obviously. But listen, God wants to bless everybody, but we have a big part to play. We have a big part to play, right? And you know, all the believers, the followers of Jesus that I know that are seeking God and have a right attitude, and they're using their money to advance the kingdom of God, I watch God just unload blessings on them. Blessings, blessings, blessing. And sometimes it's not money. It's just good things in their life. So praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Title of the message. I forgot to give you that. Title of the message is Earn Me or Chase Me. Or Earn Me or Chase Me. So chase me is about mammon and the world's way. So you can chase money the world's way. And earn me has to do with God's way. So we're going to talk about chasing it or God's way, all righty? So jump over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 and 10. Raise your hand if you've ever heard somebody say, the love of money is the root of all evil. Or better yet, no, money is the root of all evil. I grew up and, money is the root of all evil. And I'm like, really? Because I want some money, but listen to what it really says. So I'm reading out of 1 Timothy. I'm going to read out of the Amplified, a little bit wordy, but it just really spells it out. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 9. But those who are not financially ethical. Oh. So he's pointing out specific persons. A person who is not financially ethical. Well, what does that mean, Pastor D? Well, glad you asked. Okay. How about they don't pay their taxes to the government and the government says you should? Not financially ethical. How about this? They walk in the gray area. We'll talk a little bit more in every area of their life. All right. Okay. Now, we as a church at YCF, at the end of the year, we have somebody come in and check our books because we want to be ethical. All right? We want to be ethical, all right? And you might be thinking, well, Pastor D, I do some gray stuff. Well, let me tell you about gray, okay? Probably about 2 months ago, there was a contractor in one of the doing some work in a townhouse two doors over, and I got to talk to him out front. I said, hey, what are you doing at so-and-so's house? And they said, well, we're doing this, this, and this. And I said, oh, I've been thinking about doing this, this, and this at my house. You know, what would, you know, and so we're discussing what this would look like. And then he goes, this township, Dover, they make you full permits to do what we want to do. He says, but, you know, we don't have to do permits. They'll never know. And I said, I don't do gray. Pull the permits. This guy was like, I don't do gray. Pull the permits, all right? So we got the same standard here at YCF. We don't do gray, period. Period. We don't do gray. And some of you might say, well, it's just a little gray. Nobody will know. Nope. Somebody knows. Okay, so everybody go, I don't do gray. I don't do gray, all right? Because a little gray is what the Bible calls unethical, all right? And you're a believer. We're going to walk in ethical. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's keep reading there. Moving right along. but those who are not financially ethical and crave to get rich, I love what it says, with a compulsive, greedy longing for wealth, fall in temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, leading to personal misery. All right. You know what I found out, and you probably did too. You know, I know people that that don't know God, or I know people that know the Lord, but they're not using their money the God way, the gray way, okay? And they live a miserable life. They're miserable, okay? For all, everything I just read out of the Amplified. And listen, I'd rather love the Lord Jesus, okay, and do the right thing with my money. And if you want to call that just a mediocre life she's just living, rather than being rich and miserable, I'll take that mediocre life. But listen, God doesn't want you living mediocre. He wants to bless you all the time. He wants to bless people, okay? But I'd rather love the Lord, make him Lord of my life, and do it the right way here, okay? So let's keep reading verse 10. For the love of money. Everybody say, love of money. Now, it didn't say money. It says the love of money. So the love of money is not the root of all. Excuse me, money is in the root. It's just the love, and it's the attitude of your heart. So let's keep reading. For the love of money, that is greedy desire for it and willingness to gain it unethically, gray areas too, is a root of all sources of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. That means they've just moved Jesus out of their life. That's terrible. And pierced themselves through and through with many sorrows. All right? So I just want to encourage you, just going to wrap up real quick. Live ethically. All right? Don't do the gray. Just say, I'm not doing anything gray. I'm going to live before the Lord. Just do it well. All right? All right. I'm going to read two scriptures out of the Old Testament. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. We're going to talk about God's way and mammon's way here. Two scriptures. Proverbs 13:3. It says, wealth gained hastily dwindles. You know, when I read that right away, I was like, lottery winners. Whoa, I won the big 10-ball lottery, okay? And you know what they've done? And they've tracked these people that have won the lottery. And you know what? Within a year's time, they've blown their money. Lots of them. Not all of them, but lots of them, okay? So so I'm going to say this really nice. I don't mean to be mean, but hear me. You can't put money in a fool's hands and expect them to do it well, all right? Okay? You can't expect them to do it the way God wants them to it, all right? But so what you see, these lottery winners, and you sometimes there are people that have, before they win the lottery, there are people that have spent money like it was water, and they never had enough. And now they're going to win $1 million or $100 million, and you expect them to handle it better? The only way you're going to know how to handle money is one place, all right? The Lord, okay? And if you ask me, I'll tell you too. So let's read the rest of that. Wealth gained hastily dwindles, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. All right. One more scripture in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy. They'll pop it up on here. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay. You shall remember the Lord your God. Okay, this is written old covenant, but you know what? This is still for us, okay? And it's like, you should remember the Lord your God, right? Everybody go, I remember the Lord my God. So you should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. It is he who gives you power to get wealth, okay? So that kind of blows it out of the water. Well, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I've earned all of this myself. No, because when I read this, it says it's God who gives you, it's really the word power is ability. God gives you the ability to get wealth. Everybody go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thanks for giving me the ability to get wealth. God, all right? So, and then the last part of that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to our fathers as it is this day. So he's basically saying, hey, I am going to show myself strong through you when you say, Lord, I'm in faith that you're Lord and that you will just bless my finances. That's all that is, all right? So, let's talk about chase it or earn it. Chase it or earn it. I'm going to give you a quote. This is Thomas Jefferson. He was the third president. I thought it was the fourth. I asked Google. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, said this. We should send this to the government. You'll love this one. Ready? Never spend money before you earn it. I know, it's a good one, you know. Okay, moving on for that one. How many of you ever heard of John Wesley? John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist denomination. Okay, wonderful man of God, wonderful. And the Methodist Church was birthed because of a revival. God was doing big, big, miraculous, awesome things. And through that, they became the Methodist Church. And John Wesley was the person that God used to just do this, all right? So I said, well, if John Wesley did this, Pastor D can do this. But do you know that John Wesley used to teach his congregation about money all the time? Matter of fact, there was like 50 little quotes. I'm only going to pick four, and we're going to talk about them, all right? So if you want to write them down, they're just guidelines that Pastor John Wesley would teach his congregation, all right? Because, you know, not everybody knows what to do with money, so you might need a little. All right, so here we go. First one, John Wesley said, earn all you can. Money, money, money. Okay, so he's telling you you can earn money, right? Earn all you can by honest industry. Industry, okay, honest, that's the key word. Using all possible diligence in your calling. All right, now here's the problem. Most people don't feel like they're called to my job. I'm not called to this job. But listen, God got you that job, right? Some of you asked me to pray. Pastor, did you pray I get this job? Well, God got you this job, okay? So the job you have right now is your calling. Some of you are like, oh, I wish to be quiet. No, I'm not. The job you have right now is your calling. Sorry, it is, all right? So what are you supposed to be doing in your job that you have that God gave you that's your calling right now? Well, you're supposed to be an influencer there for good. You're supposed to be the salt and the light. Cha-ching, all right? So here he goes. John Wesley says, earn all you can, do it by honest industry, using all possible diligence in your calling. So I have a friend, this is years ago, she worked for this big company that was this big, massive office buildings with like a zillion offices and lots of employees. And she's a believer, and she said the most remarkable thing. She said, you know, at a certain time every day, people would just disappear for an hour or more, especially Friday, they disappear into the bathrooms. And this is before cell phones. Like, what are you doing for 2 hours in there? All right? Okay. So, can I tell you? They weren't being diligent and honest in their calling when you're hiding out like that. All you owners should say, yeah, tell them, Pastor D. Okay. So, we're supposed to be honest in our work, and that means diligent, too, and honest. All right. You know, when I thought about this one, when I first received Jesus, I was in a small grow group, and I was going to York College. And one day, the leader of the group, and it was really actually his wife, that started speaking about money. Now, I was a college kid. I was great if I had 10 cents left in my checking account every week. You know, I was like, so she's going to talk about money. And I was like, I don't know. And she gave me the scripture. It's Colossians 3:23. And I want to tell you, it stuck to me. And actually, she turned around and pointed her finger to me. So I thought, okay, pay attention. But this scripture has stuck to me and it's changed my life. Colossians 3:23. And read it in a couple translations, but I wrote this in the New Living. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord. And then she pointed her big pointy finger and said, because he's watching you. And you know what? From that day forth, I like to work. I work. I clean the little things, the big things. It changed how I looked at work. So just saying, all right? Now, so maybe you go to a big company, and how many of you, you know, you see these guys and girls, they truck in with their big lunchbox, they go to work every day, and then when they leave every day, they pick up things from the company and put it in their big box, okay? Now, y'all don't need to tell you, but you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they don't pay me enough. They're not paying me what it's worth. No, you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do everything well. Amen? Okay, moving on. Number two, here we go. John Wesley, he said, earn all you can. That means you have a job, okay, without paying more for what it's worth. Okay, what does that mean? You go buy something on credit card, okay, and guess what, or credit card, and for the next 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, you're paying it off. But here's the thing. At the end of the 10 years or the 15 years that you paid it off, that thing ain't worth what you paid for because you paid more because of all the interest and stuff like that, all right? So I've done it. I work trying not to do it. It took us a while to get out of doing that and stuff like that. But that's not God's way. It's the world's way. And you just got to find the balance on that here, all right? So, yes, did I have a mortgage loan, a mortgage on my house that I paid off? Yep, and I was never late. I never owed. I always had it, all right? So just little things, all right? I love you, Pastor D. Okay. Here's another one. So, earn all you can without paying more for it than what it's worth, all right? And by the way, if you're carrying debt, why don't you just make it a point that I'm going to pay this off as fast as possible. I was talking to somebody here at church, and they don't even have one of those little plastic cards anymore. They pay what that they have in their account. I was like, whoa, that's good. I'm going to work on that one, okay? But just work on your debt. Pay it off real fast. And also, let's start a grow group with Dave Ramsey. Praise the Lord. All right. So, earn all you can without paying more for it. I also believe this talks about at the expense of your life and your health. If you are a workaholic, you know, you're earning all you can. And many times I see it at the expense of your health and your life, all right? And, you know, I know sometimes there's a thrill in making money. Oh, my gosh, this is exciting. Whoa, I'm making money, okay? But I'll tell you what, it is not worth it. And I have seen marriages crumble because of work. That's all you do. And I've seen kids just destroy relationships and families. So it's not worth it. Amen. Turn over to Genesis, or they'll just pop this up here. Genesis chapter 2. This is my little answer to that one. Genesis chapter 2:2. Most of you all know this. By the seventh day, God had finished the work. Okay, he created the heaven, the stars and the heavens and mankind, okay? So by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from his work. Now, God's not, oh my gosh, this was exhausting. I'm so tired. I need a rest. That is not why he wrote that. He wrote that as an example of what we should do, all right? And the example is you need a Sabbath rest. If your day off is Monday or Friday or Saturday, you need to take time and have rest. Now, sometimes I'm working. Even if you do half of the day as rest instead of, I got to work, I got to make more money, I got to keep this, you know, I got to go back to my office. No, your body, your mind, and your relationships need you to have some rest. Needs to have some rest. Everybody say rest. Rest is good. All right. Number three, here we go. John Wesley said, earn all you can, but do not do it at the expense of your neighbor. And I'm going to add your family to that also. Earn all you can. Go work, work, work. You should work. God wants you to work. You don't work, you don't eat. Okay. Work, but not at the expense of your neighbor or people in your life. So I want to tell you a story. I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent. Years ago, we were building our house, and then we had this medical emergency, and the house wasn't finished, but we just moved in. There were no baseboards. There were no windowsills. We just moved in. And about a year, maybe two later, I go, Jack, you know, it'd be nice if we put some of this, finish this house. And he was just so busy, and he knew how to do this. So we hired somebody that was a believer that actually went to church here. And they're like, he says, hey, listen, buddy, can you, you know, do this, the bases and the stuff like that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I know how to do that. And Jack would walk in. And you know what a miter box is? It's how you cut these so they... I watch this old house and all that great stuff. And he's doing it all wrong. And these cuts are, like, not working. And he's going through boards because he can't do it. And Jack's like, okay, that's okay, that's okay. Just do it this way. You know, I'm going to show you how to do this, okay? And this went on for, like, 2 days. And finally, Jack fired him. Just fired him nicely. And the guy went around telling people at church, Pastor Jack's so mean, he fired me. And you know, I thought back, no, you were a liar, buddy. You told me you knew how to do this. You lied. You didn't do this right, okay? Okay? And listen, I watched my husband so good. Multiple times he's gone in and he's shown, no, do it this way, do it this way. And he goes, oh, yeah. So you're about... You're amazing he didn't leave the church. Usually when you get offended with the pastor, you leave the church, but he did not. And years later, years later, he said, you know, I didn't know how to do this, and I was thinking I could start a business on the side at my expense, okay? So do all you can, but not at the expense of people in your life and your family. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Last one, John Wesley, amazing man of God, wrote this. Not Pastor D, but I love all this. Earn all you can, but not at the expense of your mind. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means being ethical and being a person of integrity, all right? Earn all you can, but not at the expense of your mind, all righty? And you know, all of these that I shared, they all have one little secret. It has to do with your heart, your attitude of your heart, and all of these things, right? So your goal should not be, I'm going to go out and make money. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to have my business. And then I don't give a darn. I'm going to take advantage of them. They're all dumb. They don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to jack the prices up. Okay, that's not your goal. That's not good. But your goal should be, I am going to have a job or have a business where I'm going to honor him. And because I honor him, I'm going to honor everybody, whether they're a Christian or not a Christian, and a female. I want to tell you the times I get ripped off because I'm a female. Terrible. All right? So, but none of you, right? So, I am going to be ethical and have integrity because I want to honor him. Therefore, I will not rip people off. I will not take advantage of them, okay? And I will finish the job I started and not slide out of there. I'm going to do everything I can to honor him, okay? Whether it's at your job where you go to work or your business, all righty? So I just want to say this. There is no amount of money worth being having no integrity. There is no amount of money. Just like, that's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So, as a follower, as Jesus is my Lord, am I going to have money be my master, right? And all the things that come with it, or is he going to be my Lord? And I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm going to honor you with everything I do with this money that you have helped me with, all right? So I have two questions I'm going to ask. Put your seatbelts on. It's really homework. Ready? Homework. Well, I have three. I'm going to change it to three. If your bank account was empty right now, like your retirement went down the toilet, there's nothing in your bank account, would you be content with just the Lord? Would you be content with just the Lord as your Lord? The Apostle Paul ended up in the Roman prison, by the way. Prisons are like the Taj Mahal compared to his. It was a pit. in the ground and sewage and cold and stuff like that. And he's most likely going to be executed. And he writes this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11, and you can read later. He says, you need to be content, you guys, with what you have. And he says, I have learned how to be content with a little, and I have learned how to be content with a lot. I have learned how to be content. So, here's my question. Can you be content where you are right now? But listen, God wants to bless you. But could you just say, I'm going to be chill. I'm okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just going to be content. And you know, a good way to be content, this is how you do it. Father, I just thank you. I know there's a little in there, and I'm real close to getting 000 in that account. But Lord, I want to thank you that I'm here today, and I've got a roof over my head, and I've got food, and I've got a job, and I've got this and that. And Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father. And I thank you. This is just a season in my life that I'm going forward because you're a good, good God, and you're my Father. But that starts, that's a good way to be content. It's a good way to be content, all right? Okay, here's my two questions. I'm going to skip. Here we go. All right, I'm not doing this. Yep, I'm going to do this one. Here we go. So this is what happens when you surrender your money and say, God, it's not mine, it's yours. You blessed me with everything. So I'm just going to say it's yours. I will do it with honor, and I will use my money, spend my money to please you. And these are some things that happen, okay? That's when God's your source. And by the way, you're supposed to be the steward. Steward means you are taking care of somebody else's property or things or money for them. So if he's given you everything, I'm just going to be a good steward. So this question, are you a good steward? We're working on it. We're working on it. Okay, but here's my question. Okay, this wasn't a, yay, Pastor D, lots of amens, okay? But here's the question. What did God speak to your heart about today and money? What did God speak to you about your heart and money, all right? And then, what are you going to do about it? Like, what's your response? And you might be here, and I hear this a lot because I'm of this young age group. Well, Pastor D, I'm retired. I live on a fixed income. No, no, no. He's my source. He's my supplier. So just do it right, all right? Just do it right. So, you know, what did God speak to you in your heart? And what are you going to do? All right, some of you, it's just this little change in your life here. And some of you might just be your attitude. Okay, yes, this is yours. I honor you with it. There's no one else that I love to represent this to. Amen? Okay, so, praise the Lord. Excuse me. Oh, yes, Pastor Sherry. We do hand signals here. So real important around here, actually 34 years ago we started YCF, something like that, we'll do the math, and we started in a small group. We started in, there's a lady, she's not here today because of where she lives, okay, we started in her house, we did small group. So we started with small group and we've grown bigger, but we still believe, what is Andy Stanley says, rows are good, but circles are better. I like that. So I just want to encourage you, sign up for a grow group. I'm getting ready. I'm also going to start one in February. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do, but there's sign-ups in the back. Go look through that. Some of them are starting at the end of the month. I'm going to wait till February. Okay. So I was having a conversation with somebody, and you know, I know grow groups help you grow, and we take out the word of God. We talk about what God says and the plans God has for and the blessings and all of this stuff. But this one person was just flat out honest. She said, you know, that's good, Pastor D. Thank you, Pastor D. That's good. She says, but the relationships is why I come. The relationships have changed my life. And this is a person, she says, I've been going to small groups for like 25 years. She says, but this one I'm in right now, just, I got solid friends. So maybe you need some more friends in your life. Maybe us four no more isn't good anymore, okay? Us four no more. So I just want to encourage you to sign up in the back here. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you'd like some prayer at the end, Pastor Sherry and I, we'll pray. We love praying. We will agree with you on what God says, but let's pray right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that your word is planted in our heart and it's churning in our heart. And Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to speak to our hearts about this money, money, money thing. Father, because our heart is to always honor you, to be pleasing to you, and to be a blessing to others. So I thank you, Father, that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you made it to YCF. Thank you for coming. And we got lots of cookie and coffee back. Stay and talk to people. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen.